All Things Nerds, Season 3, Episode 9 on tonight's show. It's all about Disney. We're going to be talking about Galaxy's Edge. We're going to be talking about the new Villains TV show that could potentially be coming. We're also going to be talking about what would happen if Disney bought some more stock into Hulu and owned it. So that and much, much more. If you are watching live on the Twitch channel, make sure to jump in the chat room. Let us know your thoughts as we talk about everything and be a part of this live show. Sit back, enjoy the show, and have fun. Hello to all the geek enthusiasts and nerd aficionados. Mess 5150 here with another All Things Nerd podcast, Season 3, Episode 9. We are back. We are here again. You have me, as always, your host, Mess 5150, along with me, other geek enthusiasts and nerd aficionados that are joining us to talk about Disney stuff with you guys. Aren't you excited? on tonight's show, we have Icy Zora with us. How are you, sir?
I'm great. I get the feeling that everybody's super excited to talk Disney, at least judging by our person in the chat room. But you know what? Disney is everything now. Disney owns everything. We can't talk about lunch meat without talking about Disney.
No, and this has actually got some interesting stuff with Disney. It's not just a bash on Disney or anything like that, although I'm sure there will be some of that coming along with the notes being talked about. Also on the cast, we have Masonic Vader with us. How are you?
It goes well. I am well. I'm excited the fact that there's actually more light in my room, so I don't look like I'm in halfway in a dungeon anymore. Woohoo!
I thought you just lived in a dungeon.
I thought that was just your thing.
Well, and brooding around all day.
Yeah. You know, with that big hump on your back that you sing from the rooftops. Hey, Disney reference.
You're funny. You've got the same haircut as him, though. Oh yeah.
I got the same brow as him. Are you kidding?
I've got the same dating life.
You win. Also on our cast.
By which I mean Nick. I end up dead at the end.
We have Nick on the cast with us. How are you?
You're doing well, and breaking news, just in, Jason Witten is being replaced on Monday Night Football by none other but than Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me. Did you see how far he threw that touchdown?
With Goose, we do probably, color commentating.
They should probably hire him on the defensive coordinator side of the Cowboys, too.
Gorsh.
Oh, good Lord. And Ruru, too, joined us in the chat room. Thanks for coming along for the show. Lastly, but not leastly, we have Super Whovian Freak with us on the show. How are you?
I'm good. I'm apparently a little tired, but I'm good. It's been a good week. Good. Great week.
I can't switch anything to Disney about that. So that's too.
Every day's a great week.
I could. Disney. I'm Sleepy, the seventh dwarf.
Oh, okay. There we go. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's it. That's who we have on the cast tonight, along with you guys in the chat room to talk about whatever we're going to be talking about. With that, we always like to start the cast out with what we've been geeking out on, what we've been doing for the last week since you last saw us. Me, myself, personally, it's been Gotham. Just Gotham. I'm catching up on the show. I've watched 2 seasons in the last week, and when the seasons have 22 episodes, that's a good binge going on there. So I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I kind of got back into it because I guess they're getting to the end of the show, and they'll eventually be having Batman actually being shown, but they said that the one thing they said is that the reveal of Batman isn't going to be like the reveal of Superman for the end of Smallville. It's not just going to be him just like, you know, just taking out and just putting the mantle on or something like that. So maybe we'll get a full episode of him as Batman. But I really like the show. I like the comparisons of the Gotham TV show to when you look at how some of the casting's done to like the Tim Burton Batmans. Bruce Wayne's always wearing a black turtleneck. The girl that plays Catwoman has a very similar look to Michelle Pfeiffer. So it's kind of cool. So
interesting. 22 episodes, man. That's binging next to a a bucket so you don't have to use the restroom binging, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't watch them all in one day, but but that's just one season. It's 22 episodes, so they're not light seasons. I mean, they're like two seasons in one, because they usually dwell on two major stories going throughout the entire season.
Yeah, that's one that I think is it the current season that's going to be the last season, or the next season is going to be the last season?
That I don't know. I think it's either this current season or the next season. I'm not 100%.
Yeah, I have them all saved up and waiting for me.
Yeah, and Jack in our chat room has started binging Umbrella Academy, so another great story based off of a comic book.
A lot of really good buzz around that show.
Yeah, and you know, I'm all for how great the show does and how great the comic books are that he's writing, but I really, really wish a little bit that Gerard Way's stuff would kind of tank so that he would have to come back and do a My Chemical Romance reunion, because I loved them when they were seeing them live and stuff. And there's just Gerard Way, with how successful he's been with Umbrella Academy and with Doom Patrol, writing with DC Comics. He's gone the way of who's the composer on all the Tim Burton films.
Oh, that would be a guy from Dead Man's Party.
Danny Elfman.
He's gone the way of where he's successful enough that he doesn't have to go back and do like a reunion for the band. So yeah. And Jack just told me, Danny Elfman, you dork. So in the chat room. Zora, what have you been geeking out on?
So this is kind of weird. I had a lot of podcasts built up waiting for me to listen to. I've been working a lot this week, but in my off time, I've pretty much just been listening to podcasts and playing various Lego games on PS4. Beacon asked us, or asked me in our writer's chat this afternoon. He said, dude, according to my PS4, are you playing Lego Indiana Jones 2 right now? I said, yeah, it's really fun. So I like just my Lego games are great, kind of mindless, and you can just do other stuff.
They're fun. Have you played is it Lego Legends or what, like the Dimensions? Lego Dimensions, have you played that at all?
I don't think I've played that one, actually.
Okay, so Lego Dimensions, I have it. It is fantastic. It is, you keep adding on more. So it has its main storyline that goes on it, but it comes with a platform so that you can switch out your characters, so you actually get Lego characters that can do different things, so that you get into different areas.
Yeah, that's pretty common through all the Lego games.
But having actual real-life characters.
Oh, nice.
So you have an actual platform in real life.
Oh, so it's like, my kid used to play the game where you'd have to switch the monsters on and off the little platform thing that was plugged in.
Yes, but because it's Lego, they know that they're tapping into older geeks, because they have Ghostbusters on it, they have Back to the Future on it, so all those jokes, Doctor Who is part of it as well, and they'll have like new side stories that have to take place with those characters as well when you buy the pack. So it's a cool, I like it. I have it. moving on, Masonic Vader, what have you been geeking out on?
Man, it has been a slow geek week. I've myself have started watching Umbrella Academy. And obviously, I'm watching Doom Patrol as well. Just finished up episode 3. That is a really, really good series. I mentioned it last week. I'm just going to mention it again. Great actors. They pick good parts for everybody. Really unique characters. I was not familiar with Umbrella Academy before this, so I'm going to go back and check out some of their stuff online and look into it deeper, because it's definitely not your atypical group. It's, you know, they always come up with some kind of weird group. These guys are definitely off the course. So it's cool.
That's awesome. Fuel Tarazi joins us in the chat room, and they sold their soul and are playing EA's Anthem. he says, I feel like Anthem is like Titanfall 1, which is straight multiplayer and will take another game with the feedback to make it awesome. So I guess there's some stuff to work out on there. What about you, Super? What have you been geeking out on?
I caught up on the next two episodes of Miracle Workers, which is still a really funny show. To piggyback on Masonic's Doom Patrol, just found out Mark Shepard is going to be doing an episode of it with Alan Tudyk. episode 4. So this is the first time he's been on TV in about 2.5 years. Yeah. So that's no clue if it's going to be a recurring role or not. But I'm excited. It sounds fun.
Yeah, I knew Tudyk was going to be in it, but I didn't know Mark Sheppard. That's cool.
Yeah, well, he'd been teasing fans for a while that he was going to be working on something new, and he's like, I'm off to Atlanta, guys. Like, I'm filming my new TV series. So everyone thought he was going to be in The Walking Dead. But then he released promo pics from the show, and of course he was like clean and in a really nice like building surrounded by like tons of really expensive scotch. So it's like, okay, clearly he's not in The Walking Dead. So they've been speculating, and they narrowed it down to 2 shows, Doom Patrol and another one. I can't remember which else it was. And it turned out to be Doom Patrol. So that was pretty cool.
Maybe he's just reprising his character from Leverage.
Right.
Nice. I really want to watch Doom Patrol, but I'll binge it. I'll wait until more episodes come out. It's like right up to the last.
And I've just been reading. I picked up a new book. I walked into Barnes & Noble after an interview yesterday, and they were having a big blowout sale, 50% off like 500 titles. And I bought 3 new books. So I've been reading those too.
Nice. Anything in particular?
Oh, dude, this one's actually pretty good. I've never heard of the author before, but it's called Before We Were Strangers. And it's about a 5-year-old girl who hears her parents arguing and her mother just up and disappears. And her dad basically tells her, your mom ran off, nothing. So, you know, she disappears, the mom. And when the girl becomes an adult, she decides to go ahead and try and solve her mom's disappearance. But her dad's like become the mayor of the town now, so he holds all this power, and you know, so it's kind of interesting. I like it.
Interesting. Yeah. What about you, Nick? What you been geeking out on?
I'm trying to be a completionist with God of War. I'm trying to defeat all these Valkyries, and they are really, really hard and difficult. Like, one hit takes away half your health. And it's such a good game. If any of y'all have not picked up a copy of God of War or downloaded it, please do. It's a great game. I can't speak enough of it. I mean, I'm still trying to complete the game when I still have Red Dead Redemption 2 that's unopened. That's how good it is.
Yeah, I haven't picked it up. I mean, if you want to pick it up, here comes plugs. you can head over to malice-corp.com and click on any of the Amazon links. If you're going to be purchasing any games from Amazon, and then you can go purchase whatever you're going to purchase. It helps us out. You get what you're looking for. Or if you guys want to really support us and you're watching here on Twitch, up above you, you will see an option, or up above the screen here, not actually above you if you're watching, above the screen here, you'll see an option to click and subscribe. If you have Amazon Prime, that means you have Twitch Prime, which means you get a free 30-day subscription to give to a channel. It helps us. It doesn't cost you anything. We greatly appreciate it. Or if you're listening to this on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, anywhere, make sure that you click on reviews. Let us know how we're doing here. Maybe we'll read off your reviews on future casts. And if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to hit that subscribe, drop a comment, and make sure to hit the like button as well. Thank you, everybody, for supporting us. So with that, moving on, real quick news on this. We're not going to go into the new nerd news just yet, because usually what we do is, right now, it's midway through the nerd fight, we do a rebuttal argument why you should vote for who you should vote for. At this point, it's clearly evident who's going to win the epic beard for the nerd fight.
Real beard.
Your choices that you had on it were David Letterman on his show with his amazing beard, Captain America from Avengers Infinity War last year, Aquaman, Jason Momoa, and John Krasinski from A Quiet Place. And then you also had Jared Padalecki for getting to show a beard on Stranger Things, on Supernatural. Stranger Things is that he doesn't have as thick of a beard, and he's destroying the competition.
That's what happens when you get retweeted by an account that has like 600,000 followers, and that's what happened.
We've talked in the past about how amazing the Supernatural fan base is, and this just shows it. Yeah, it's like an 87% vote winning for it. So like second place has like 17 votes for it. Yeah. And Jared Padalecki has 230 or something like that, or 260. Yeah.
Let's be clear. He has the worst beard up there.
It is my least favorite of them, but I understand the factor of it's the first time, like Super said, that they were able to like have facial hair on Supernatural. Hey, let the Supernatural fans get it, because in all actuality,
they'll never get it again.
Exactly.
Never again. Ever. We ain't going to be voting for Jim Beaver in that.
So the thing now is you get to really decide who you don't want to see on the cast for the next 2 weeks between, well, I have to be here no matter what, but between Masonic Vader, Icy Zorro, and Nick, you get to decide who not to vote for so that they won't be here next week. So, yeah, fun. But then we'll bring back Nudie Rudy. So,
Nudie.
With that being said, if you do want to vote on any of these and try and make somebody else beat out Jared Padalecki, more power to you if you're able to. I don't think it's going to happen, because the second somebody starts catching up, that fan base will be right on it again, just voting like crazy. But you can head over to malice-corp.com, and that's where you can vote. You can vote every 10 hours up until midnight next Friday. So with that, let's move on to the main topics of today's show, and that is the nerd news. Bearded Master joins and says the voting count right now is 262 to 19 and 19.
So we have a chance. That's what you're saying. We have a chance.
If we all combine our votes together, we may have a chance.
Collusion.
That may be one epic beard if you're able to combine those other three beards together. By your
pretty sure Letterman's beard itself is the other three combined together.
By your follicle combined, beard. I am Captain Beard. I don't know.
It's amazing that Letterman's beard is pretty epic, but Letterman has just say epic zero.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
I wouldn't have voted for Letterman simply because doesn't he like own the state of Montana? Like the man has everything. He does not need to have the epic beard title.
Yeah. Well. Oh, well,
deserves it, but at least it's a beard. I mean, come on. The other one's got, it looks like it's a Sharpie drawn on his face and stuff. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. Our beards are more epic than that.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind, whatever beard wins, which will probably be Jared Padalecki's, will be photoshopped and put onto our epic beard of winners. When we start talking about the best of 2018, we've already got the best streaming TV show, the best, non-streaming TV show. We'll be reaching out to our other podcasts that we have that are part of the Malice-Corp to ask them what was the best video game of last year, what was the best movie of last year, and best comic book. If you want to listen to those other podcasts, make sure to head over to malice-corp.com for that, or look up any of them. They're written here on the side, except for Comics for All, which is one that you can check out as well. They're at All for Comics. So, yeah, Ruru2 says, but Montana is a wasteland. He wants to own the state of Idaho.
Potatoes.
Okay, so getting into the nerd news. We said tonight's show was all about Disney. So the first big thing was, we've talked about it many times before. We've talked about what the speculations are, how it was going to be presented to us. Star Wars Land, Galaxy's Edge. They had their press visit, where all the press was able to come out and see what the land is like, what it looks like. Rides weren't actually operating, but they still got to walk through the line, see everything. And the best that I found for really diving in and giving out the information for this was Entertainment Weekly, not a sponsor, but they really, really broke it down. They said there was so much information, they had to break it down into 7 different articles. The main topics we're going to focus on is the two rides, which would be your Millennium Falcon ride and the Resistance ride. And then where this ties in into Star Wars lore, this entire, like this land is a chapter in the lore. They actually have like a story set up for it and everything. So first and foremost, the Millennium Falcon ride, this when you walk up to it, they said it's 14 acres. So you don't just see the Falcon as soon as you walk into the land. You actually have to walk around a little bit before it just pops out of nowhere. And because it takes place after Force Awakens, it's got blaster marks. It's not your like clean looking Millennium Falcon at all. So a couple of the notes that were said about this in terms of the making of it, they said it's a little worse for wear. You're going to hear the engines trying to turn over as they try to reactivate some of the systems. So I love that aspect that they're going that extra little detail where you constantly hear like when Han was trying to work on the Millennium Falcon in Empire Strikes Back, you're going to constantly hear it trying to restart.
Yeah, I would try to imitate that noise, but I would come off sounding like Curly. It's just woo, 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 woo.
And then occasionally you will see a familiar walking carpet on the rooftop or crouching beneath the undercarriage to supervise the restoration. So that's a great factor too. It's not like, oh, Chewie's going to come out for a photo experience. Chewie's going to be walking around trying to fix the Millennium Falcon.
And it's actually Peter Mayhew. Now the pictures of this ride look incredible. Like the approach Falcon looks just mind-boggling.
It looked huge. Like when people were walking by, like they were not barely even coming up to the, you know, back end of the engine. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it's built to the scale of the movies. It looks like it's real.
Yeah. So about a year and a half ago, I think the last time I went to Disney, it was the first time in, I don't know, 25 years I actually rode on Thunder Mountain because it was actually working that day. Amazing. And you could actually see the construction going on at one point of the ride. And we got up to the top of that hill. And I looked. Jesus, that thing's huge from afar. Like it set the scale, like they said, everything. It looked great. And it was just had no paint on it. It was literally the dock, and it was just a bunch of walls, but you can kind of see the world happening, you know? It's going to be epic.
Turbo Comics joins us in the chat room and says, I hope the Millennium Falcon is covered in Minox.
I want to know which tourist is going to be the first one to find the smuggling compartments and stay in overnight.
What's also cool about it, though, is that they're just not keeping to like movie lore as well. Like I was reading on some of the article, and part of the Smuggler's Run, which is the Millennium Falcon ride, they're actually introducing Hondo, which is from Rebels.
That was awesome. Next thing. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's awesome because Star Wars has made obviously a cultural impact, and Disney's, you know, taking max advantage of it, but they've also been able to hit other genres most recently, especially with like Clone Wars and Rebels and stuff. They've been able to reach out to different areas that they weren't able to do before, like the cartoons that they had Star Wars back in the day. They weren't that great. They had the Ewok one, the C-3PO one, whatever. These were really good series that they're one of them to bring back Clone Wars pretty soon. And it's awesome that they're connecting it with the rides.
Yeah. So case in point to that. So when you hear it, if you're somebody that's a fan of Star Wars, not just going to go to the land, but actually like super diehard, know everything, watched everything, you hear Hondo Inaka, who is like you said, from Clone Wars and Rebels. He is the space pirate. So you think, okay, so he's the one, they state that he's the one telling you your mission, what you're doing, why you're there. So you're like, okay, so there's going to be video screens of him. No, they are actually introducing, for the first time from the cartoon universe, they're a full animatronic of Hondo. They said it's their most... Awesome. Up-to-date, latest animatronic. I mean, it's like it's supposed to be that next level of animatronics that they've done over at Disneyland.
That's
not
cool.
All president's level.
No, not the president's level. Not Lincoln.
The pictures of the animatronics that they're going to use looked like when C-3PO was being built in Episode One. It was kind of cool.
Like T-100.
That is awesome.
They're going to take us out on the ride. That's what's going to happen.
And here's the other thing. So it said even the whole entire thing is an experience. So they said even the line isn't a line. I don't know how well they're going to do on that because it's going to be really hard to not be a line. But there's stuff going on all the time throughout the line that you are signing on to be a new smuggler when you're in line, that you're not just in line. Then you have the Disney Parks app that they're applying to this, so you can like scan things. Did anybody go on Indiana Jones when it first opened?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when Indiana Jones first opened, and they still have them there now, and they finally just like re-released this to do it, but because the line was so long, this was the first kind of immersive experience in a line that I ever had at a park. Yep. There's writing and etching all over the walls. When it first opened, because it was sponsored by AT&T, I think, they picked out these little cards, and the little cards had what the each symbol meant. So you could actually like decipher while you were in line.
And then it passed the time quite nicely.
It helped. It definitely helped.
Yep. But, if you got them all right, you get to eat chilled monkey brains.
Yes, dessert.
Fucking immersive.
Temple of Doom.
And then you had the other stuff, like places that you couldn't wait to get to in line. There was this bamboo pole holding up the ceiling. And if you shook the pole, the spikes in the ceiling would start coming down. That doesn't work anymore. Yeah.
No, it doesn't. You could legitimately kill your family.
Yes.
Or there was a rope in like a well that you could pull on the rope and it would sound like you had dropped something down the well, and the people that were working down there would start screaming and yelling at you. It was cool. To take this to another level with the line is really cool, to the point that even before you get on the ride, your waiting area is the Millennium Falcon waiting area. It's where they played Battle Chess. It's where, you know, and they said they pretty much leave you in there to just let you roam and enjoy the experience and take photos and stuff.
Did you now something I saw in there, which I thought was pretty interesting is too, as part of the app, is that, and this might probably be going into the other part of the ride you're going to be talking about, but it's actually going to you to create your, I don't want to call it your faction or whatever it is. You're actually going to be like trying to create your own, like kind of character, I guess.
In a sense. Sheet.
There, yeah. By making decisions, and they're going to let you create which way you're going to go during the ride or during the wait. And I think, like I said, we were talking about this in pre-show. They are taking another park's idea that has been quite successful for the last 5 or 6 years across the highway there, and are making it like much more interactive, more. I mean, to be perfectly frank, more. More up to date, I guess, in a sense. And the animatronics, they're the ones that started that stuff practically as far as in rides. So they're just going to perfect on it. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. The rewritability of this is what sounds the most awesome to me. So they didn't get to actually ride the ride, like I said, but it's you and six of your friends going in, and you're going on, you know, a smuggler run in the Millennium Falcon. So everybody, when they first heard it, they thought it was going to be like a Star Tours type of thing where you're watching the screen and it's doing it. Every single person in that cockpit, all six of you have something that to do, and it actually affects how the ride goes.
The person being flying, the smarky backseat driver.
Yeah. The two people flying, they can actually crash the Millennium Falcon. They, you know, you have to be able to fly this. You have two gunners, you have two engineers that if you're getting hit, the engineers have to be pushing things and doing certain things to make sure that nothing happens to the ship and it doesn't blow up.
Zorro C-3PO, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I love Fuel Trazi said, I paid for the VIP experience, crush the wife for Indiana Jones.
I will be there on day one if you tell me they have the Tauntaun experience where you can sit there and try and survive in the winter and bury yourself in the Tauntaun.
That has not been announced.
That would be day one.
To capture the right smell.
Yeah. It's more cold until they set up Disney, Minnesota.
Wait, yeah. doesn't it remind you of the gas we had about a month ago? Tauntaun, candle smell.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. That was last season when we talked about Star Wars candles.
A while ago.
I mean, generally you go on these rides and you're like, I want to be the driver. And that's the only thing that's ever worthwhile. And it's not for to actually drive. It's just for the best seat. But I love that you're going to want to experience every single type of thing and they even asked if there was going to be like Easter eggs of like the robot that Lando's robot that's part of the ship from Solo. And their response to that was like, there are things that you can find out in the cockpit that aren't just you know, hey, push this button and this is going to happen. Like there's, you can play with stuff and end up coming across other Easter eggs.
That's cool.
That is so cool.
He's got a picture of Ben Kenobi taped to one of his kid, Ben Solo, taped to one of the gauges.
Oh my God. That would actually be pretty funny if they did.
So I mean, it sounds like, I mean, you mentioned Star Tours briefly, and it sounds like they took all the lessons from Star Tours, which was hugely successful. You know, you could go through and get different stories a bunch of different times. The waiting area was somewhat interactive. It sounds like they took all those good ideas and kicked them up to the next level. So that's kind of exciting. Like, it was already successful. Now it's going to be successful plus.
This is easily going to be the most epic ride there for the foreseeable future. Well,
because whatever happens, and if you, I think you have to use the Disney app to like help them really know what's going on. Because we were trying to figure out, how they're going to keep track of this. But based off of what you do in the ride, that's how interactions end up happening throughout the land. So if you crash the Millennium Falcon, you're going to have people. If you go to the cantina, that are going to be like, "Hey, you're the dude that crashed the Falcon." you can change your story by using the app, but the people are going to be reacting to that stuff throughout
rather the time than, when you come off the ride, rather than having your picture like they do on roller coasters, it's got a cop style video of you crashing the Millennium Falcon into a trailer park.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah. You know, kind of thinking about it now, I bet you, so we were talking about this earlier, and one of the things, like I was mentioning earlier, one of my buddies from work, we were checking out an article, is somehow Disney has been able to figure out how they would be able to shoot lasers, and you could actually interact with it, deflecting it, like with a lightsaber or something. Possibility of that maybe being in the Millennium Falcon, kind of like doing the Luke Skywalker little droid training thing.
Okay. Huh. That would be cool.
I'm currently picturing laser tag in fog.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. But when we were reading the article, they've actually been able to figure out how to use mirrors to project it. And they're able to angle the mirrors perfectly to where you don't actually notice the mirror. I think a lot of this is going to be happening with the next ride, which we'll be talking about and everything. But they've definitely figured it out to where you'll be able to somehow interact with it.
Well, okay, so the Falcon ride, you pretty much know what's going on. It's still more of a question on what's going on with the second ride, with Rise of the Resistance.
It sounds
like a full-on experience. So the first rumors out there were that this ride could be up to 28 minutes long, which they've now debunked and said it's not going to be that long, but they won't say how long it could be.
I'm guessing like around 15.
That wouldn't work unless you had 140 of them built.
Well, it depends on how many people they have going, able to go through at a time.
You could stagger the rooms. It sounds like you're being guided from room to room to room. Yeah. So,
everybody from the current crop of Star Wars films that are Disney films are going to be appearing in it. Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, and Adam Driver as their characters. And it's, you're taking a tour. You're going off world aboard a resistance transport and going into the belly of a First Order Star Destroyer. And like the things that they talk about, like when you're, these are the little intricate details. When you're walking up to the ride or to the line, the ground is hard in mud, actually concrete, but go with it, where you can see the footprints of resistance soldiers and the tracks of an R2-D2 R2 astromech, which is actually R2-D2's tracks. This is how far they went with the detail. They got access to one of the original Kenny Baker A New Hope 1977 era droids. They took rubbings off of the bottom of the droid feet and then used those to make like this little cart to have somebody sit in, and they just pulled the cart so it was actually his same track marks.
Because of course they did. Why wouldn't you?
But you know what though? And that's where I know people are hating on Disney right now, but that's where you got to actually appreciate what they're doing.
No, I love that. I think that's amazing.
I know people hate on it. I mean, it's always been a topic of interest for me where, you know, Disney's pretty much everyone who's a Star Wars fan is afraid Disney's going to just shite all over it. But to hear them doing things like that actually does put a little bit better, gives you a little bit better peace of mind for it, because they're actually going that deep and having meaning to it, you know?
Now, the only question I had that I wasn't able to read up on is, are they planning on doing something like this at both parks?
Yes, no. In fact, in Florida, they're getting a full Star Wars hotel that you still stay immersed while you're in the hotel. Like, literally, they said people will, like, show up at your door and be like, hey, we have a mission that we need to go.
Want to buy some death sticks?
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah, the droids I'm looking for. Come on in.
No, you want to go home and rethink your life.
And Bearded Master says in the chat room, Deadfuck makes me happy. My past just renewed. Cannot wait. And the cantina will have booze. Yes. Yes.
That is awesome.
And Jack brings up a valid point, too. Disney parks have always been better than production crews. Like, the parks
are
so good.
Yeah.
Well, to go on the R2-D2 thing with the – so Kristen McKella in the interview with Entertainment Weekly, who is the art director for Imagineering, she set the stage. She's like, I'll set the scene for you. There's a busy construction site. There are a lot of people around pouring hardscape concrete. All of a sudden, one of them just jumps in this little trolley and someone else pulls them through the concrete.
Nice. That's how you get the footprints and the tracks. That's awesome. Yeah.
you're going to go into ancient ruins that are set up like on Yavin 4. So that's kind of cool. The idea is the resistance set up only a week ago, and if they need to run, they can abandon this place fast. So everything is like kind of cluttered, thrown around, just so that you can get up and go. There's a lot of resistance tech in here. I'm trying to find out my next little point to talk about. So yeah, even like the sitting spots in line, they're depressions that were used to clean and wash things, but they make great seats, or they have like where you can walk to a spot that's like, hey, did everybody sleep here or were they being interred? Because hey, it's somewhere that you can lay down while you wait in line.
Wow.
I'm not going to lay down anywhere where millions of people can lay down too. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think more amusement parks need like beds in the lines though.
I'm sure there's going to be that one video we're going to somewhere see kind of like in the bathroom thing. Oh boy.
So it says, then you enter into the heart of the resistance command. BB-8 shows up there. He comes bearing a hologram of Ridley as Rey, telling visitors they have to board a transport soon for a mission led by Poe Dameron. And then the bay doors open and the guests are hustled out past Dameron's, his black X-Wing into a cargo bay of transports flown by another well-known Star Wars figure, Nin-Nub, which I love that. I love that Nin-Nub.
Yeah. That's noob, awesome. Noob?
Nin-Nub.
Nin-Nub.
Noob, noob.
Return of the Jedi, buddy. Come on. Big Gil guy.
No, I'm joking. I'm bringing in Rick and Morty.
Oh, okay.
Noob, noob.
And so the animatronic version of Nin-Nub is barks at his passengers from the front, and they're using the same voice from both films that he was in, Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens. So no detail was too small for the authenticity, they said. This is the really cool thing. So once the transport's doors close, visitors watch on monitors as they're clear for takeoff before the ship rises. Then Oscar Isaac emerges, telling him what's going on. The convoy is intercepted by a First Order Star Destroyer. Poe can't fight it off on his own, so he has to retreat. And then that's when you get trapped by a tractor beam. But when the doors open and they take you back out of the ship that you're in, you are standing in a giant auditorium-sized First Order hangar filled with just a ton of stormtroopers. And to make it look even bigger than it is, the stormtroopers are animatronic with slight movements, but they're made a little bit smaller just to make it look like it's even more massive than it actually is.
Nice.
I just like the fact that there's a life-size TIE fighter on the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That thing looks incredible.
And then you actually have to move through an interrogation room. And so it's not just riding the entire time. Like, you're getting out and moving through stuff. So this sounds like a really just, it sounds awesome. And they don't know how it's going to conclude or anything like that. But
I'm glad they didn't say that.
It sounds like this is going to be the one time that you get to hear a Disney worker get to be rude, because it sounds like they're going to be the, you know, First Order, you know, move along, resistance scum, get to your place, maggot. you know, which is not the normal phrases that you hear from Disney workers. Normally they're fired for that kind of stuff.
So. I want to hear one of them go on a Gunnery Sergeant Hartman rant. Like, yeah. That'd be awesome. So
that's kind of fun. That's kind of cool.
The only thing that can make all this better is like an AT-AT adventure ride to where you get to play the Empire firing against the Rebel Alliance.
Is that cool?
Can we just wipe out some Ewoks and call it a day?
So
I just want to slaughter teddy bear.
Depending on where this is in the park, does this mean that they're going to no longer have the Tarzan treehouse? Is it going to become the Ewok fun zone?
No. The treehouse is still there.
The audience part of the land. Okay. So, yeah, your treehouse is fine.
Where it's at is actually behind Thunder Mountain is, and then they took the back half of the giant lake area and stuff. Yeah.
They took the ranch.
Yeah. So it used to be Futureland, right? Yeah.
Yeah. The ranch is gone. So, but this story, this land takes place in between episode 9 and episode 8. So, we've already gotten like there's these cool looking red stormtroopers for the that are going to be walking around. So there's going to be hints about this that they said are going to implicate into episode 9.
Wow. Perfect timing, huh? Gosh, darn it, Disney. You know exactly what to do.
Yep.
appropriate shirt there, Vader. And name.
Yeah.
So, and there's some fantastic, there's some great things. AT-AT killing Ewoks.
Yeah.
Now, that would be a little too brutal for Disney.
Turbo Comics
saying firing against the Rebel Alliance.
Turbo Comics says Jabba's palace would legitimately be cool. I think they did some older stuff. So long as and then we're not going to talk about the rest of what that comment said.
Nope.
If you're not here live,
I just saw that. Damn.
Oh, okay.
Agreed.
Yes, agreed. Okay. That's the cool part is it takes place within the universe. They're not going like, hey, we're just going to throw it back to New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi era. There's new things to learn. There's new things happening, and they'll be able to expand more with it. So
I heard they got a really nice ride for old people. It's like where you get to be like you're in a simulator of a sand crawler.
Is it called the People Mover? moving
What's
on
that word? Monorail.
Moving on to our next and let us know what your thoughts are on these details as they're coming out. There's all types of details over on the article.
Yeah, they have to ask if they're gonna have blue milk. They're going to, yeah.
Yep, they've already said that there's a blue milk bar.
And you get to milk it yourself.
Just like episode 8, huh?
But yeah, there's gonna be they have the menu items of what's coming. They have like different type of swag that's gonna be. There's all types of stuff that's already out there to get people hyped up about. But the next Disney headline that we wanted to talk about is going back to Disney Plus streaming, and the big thing with this, we've heard about all these Marvel projects that they're going to work on, Star Wars projects they're going to work on, but there hasn't really been anything Disney centric for new shows that they were talking about doing there. They have released, and in my opinion, best thing for them to do for a new show for Disney, they are doing a Disney villains show that is based off of the book series by Serena Valentino. She writes all these books about each villain in the Disney universe, and they're supposed to be really, really good books. I haven't gotten to read them myself, but and then it's also reported that Michael Setzman will be the showrunner for this, which is the really interesting part because Michael Setzman does a lot of law shows.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he really does.
He is currently also helping out with the John Grisham universe for Hulu, and he worked on Intelligence and Quantico and Code Black. So a Disney villain show showrun by a procedurals guy. I mean, what do you guys think?
Those were procedurals, but they weren't they weren't lawyer shows. They were like special ops team kind of things.
Yeah. They were fun. They were good shows. Quantico. Yeah,
I genuinely Quantico. Like those shows. So I'm optimistic.
Okay. I mean, is this the right approach for the first Disney centric thing to get for a new show? The villains. I mean, that's what everybody loves for the most part.
I think we can see evidence that it worked. That article mentions, you know, Maleficent, the movie did 700 something million worldwide. So clearly that worked. And just the fact that there was a whole show, Once Upon a Time, that ran for like, what, 7-8 years? And major villains, the Disney universe, were major characters in that show, and they worked great. Villains are almost always more interesting. They've got more complexities, more flaws, more stuff to dig into. It can be fun.
Well, I think that the characters from the films that people like the most, depending on what film, like Little Mermaid, people really like Ursula. Who do a bunch of people look to go get their picture taken with from Beauty and the Beast? It's Gaston. I mean, at Walt Disney World, they want to go meet Gaston, the guy in character, as he's like belittling them and stuff and taking pictures with them. So
same thing with Cruella de Vil Disneyland.
I want to see him do some of the lesser villains, like Madame Mim from The Sword in the Stone, Madame Medusa from The Rescuers, the Judge Frollo, probably one of the creepiest villains, him and the guy from The Princess and the Frog. A lot of people didn't like The Princess and the Frog, and I get why. But that villain, legitimately creepy. When he's sucked into the afterworld by the beings on the other side, that traumatized my niece and nephew, you know? So I would like to see some stories from them, because I love Maleficent, don't get me wrong, but we've kind of, I don't want to say played her out, but man, give me some.
Maleficent is getting a sequel, so I don't think Maleficent is going to be one of the key focuses of
the episode. Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was. I mean, she is still a strong character, and it is going to be focusing within the Disney lore of that. It's not like, it's not going to be like Once Upon a Time where it's like, oh, they're in the real world. And then, you know, it's focused on their characters. It's live action. I mean, that's the gist of what we know. And I just, that's something that I think it'll be like different. I don't know if it'll be episodic where it's like only one story per episode, or if they're going to be like three episodes are going to tell Jafar's story, or, you know.
Right.
Speaking of which, one of my favorite parts of that article, and I don't know, are we allowed to swear on Twitch? I'm sure you can bleep this out for the YouTube later.
Just don't say
about that. It's kind of exactly what I was going to do, but last sentence is in the article. The guy said, you know, recently the live-action Aladdin movie trailer certainly came under fire for screaming fans of Will Smith, but there's no denying that the actor that plays Jafar definitely Fs. Like, he's like, look, we've got some realism here. We've got some interesting backstories we can get into. Yeah, definitely. I want to see that, the format, though.
I've got a good show for him. I think it should be like a Big Brother kind of theme, but it's more like Beauty and the Beast. So it's like Big Brother at the castle. So you get to watch the clock and the teacups and do their thing. See how they really get into fights rather than that little happy dancing kind of thing. Yeah. You know,
how did Chip really get sick?
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man. I mean, seriously, think about it. Clocks going around just knocking the crap out of people, and you know,
Chip really got chipped because Lumiere is a little bit abusive.
Yeah. Beauty and the Beast Fight Club.
There's weirder ideas out there. Mrs.
just dominating. I want to see the true villains of Lady and the Tramp get their spare time, though. The Siamese cats.
Oh, dude. Wow.
No,
it's just a whole episode of two Siamese cats walking around
and
just singing in a really racist way,
getting into shenanigans.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah. So, I mean, that I got excited for this because the biggest time for Disney where people want to go the most and they sell out in minutes when they do the specials for it is Halloween time. And what is Halloween time completely focused on? It's the villains. The villains have their own parade and everything. So,
I thought it was Jack Skeleton.
No, Jack is a part of it, of course, but but Jack's there during the day and everything like that. The villains are when you have Mickey's Halloween party, the main focus is the nighttime events, and it is villains. It is dark, you know. It's not the Nightmare Before Christmas side of it. So, I don't know.
Turbo Comics says Professor Radigan, played by Al Pacino.
Radigan was...
Yes!
That dude was hardcore. I mean...
Yes, he was bad.
Yeah. And I love this. Red Meatpod joins us in the chat room and gives me the segue to our next conversation subject. She says, okay, I think eventually Disney will be buying Hulu and blending in their content to Disney streaming and then terminating Hulu. That's what I would do if I were CEO. So, on that point... The next major story.
Excellent segue.
Disney is looking to purchase more portions of Hulu so that they're already going to have 60% of Hulu with
the Fox deal goes through.
With the Fox deal. But they're now looking at 10% from Time Warner, which would give them 70, which would give them actual ability to control, to do
things. Super majority control. Nobody can.
And a lot of people look at this and they go, oh, Disney's playing everything. It's insane. It's crazy. But when you look at the aspects of what they could be doing with Hulu by doing this, they can take Hulu worldwide. And that's where they said the big focus is, because then they'll have a streaming service that will be a worldwide thing that's already set up and established. Because Hulu's not worldwide right now.
Isn't that perfect timing? Wow. For some reason, Netflix releases Marvel. And then all of a sudden, Hulu just throws their hat in the game. Hey, you know what? We'll pick up those Marvel characters. Hey, we'll take one for the team. And then all of a sudden, Disney's talking about taking over Hulu. Wow. Well, did we not see that one coming?
If Disney does it, it gives them that opportunity that they own the Fox stuff. And like Ruatu says, Hulu's the new Fox streaming. Yes. So now they have all their Disney properties, their family-friendly, safe things on Disney Plus. And then they can still get those more serious stories, kind of like when they owned Miramax, get that serious stuff going over on Hulu. And then just like what Red Meatpaw said, this is a benefit for the fans too, because what does Hulu do now? It has packages to add on HBO and Showtime and stuff like that. So now, hey, maybe it's not going to be such a hit to get Disney streaming, because if we have Hulu, it'll be a discount to just add Disney streaming as opposed to paying for a whole new subscription.
That could be awesome.
Yeah.
That could
How has really Comcast awesome. Not hired assassins to take out Disney?
Come on, dude.
At Disney's, this point, you don't need
Disney's cable. Rolling around you with Secret Service at this point.
I think Turbo Comics just heard my point, because he said, "Say so you have to pay for Disney Plus and Hulu separately, yay." And then he put, okay.
Can I put a suggestion for a new Hulu show then? I think we should call it Deadpool's Bedtime Stories.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious.
Turbo also says just man up and purchase Hulu outright. I think that they'd want to, but that 30% that's owned by, I can't remember who the other, I have to look it up. I don't think they are willing to sell at all.
Mm-hmm. Originally it was Fox, NBC, and CBS, right?
But CBS went into their own thing. So,
Well, I think ultimately, though, I think someone would probably the FCC would probably step in and do something about it. I mean, it gets to a point.
It's not
a
production company at that point. It's not unless they purchase like Warner Brothers that's when the FCC. It's still just a streaming service. It's still, you know, so they're not
monopolizing yet.
Yeah, we're not hitting monopoly laws yet. Antitrust laws.
They could get there if they keep going the way they're going. But
if they were to purchase another major film studio, then it would start being characterized as a monopoly.
Yeah, well, like I
just
said,
Warner Brothers.
Yeah, you know, because week,
it's,
Marvel.
It's going to end.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Ian. Go ahead, boy.
Like I said last week, it's going to end up being Idiocracy, where there's like one company that rules everything in a certain area. You know, welcome to Costco. I love you.
Yeah, it's not Monopoly, since they have Marvel and Lucasfilm, you know, two of the biggest production companies, you know.
I'm trying to find the other company that was.
Well, and that's an interesting.
I don't know who the other 30% is, but it's AT&T and Warner Media that own the 10% that they're trying to purchase, or the rumors are that they're trying to purchase so they can get the 70%.
Let's just say the 30% is future gazillionaires. That's let's just call them that.
Probably.
Yeah. Buy it now if you get the chance.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's... I ain't mad if it does become a thing where it's like, now I don't have to pay fully for Disney Plus. If it's just that it's going to cost me a couple extra dollars just to add on to Hulu, as opposed to paying for a full whole nother subscription. And Hulu.
Okay, but if they do that, though, I mean, are talking about Disney. You know, the people that raise their ticket prices up every year when they don't need to. You know, I the one thing that really bites my ass about Disney is the fact that they have a crap load of money. And yet every year they keep raising their ticket prices up to where they make it to where it's practically impossible for a family of four to go to Disneyland without spending $2,000, which is ridiculous.
So Beard Bash, let's know in the chat room, it's Comcast that has the 30. So yeah, Comcast is not going to sell their 30.
Okay. Yeah, no.
So that's why they can't buy it outright. And you know what? They can't put themselves in the poorhouse to do it because they've already they're doing this stuff, and there's some stuff that still hasn't come back on returns for what they've spent.
Yeah. But having the assets long term is going to pay off for them. It's a good move for everyone.
So buying the Hulu stock.
Well, they said the 10% that they were going to buy from AT&T was AT&T
WarnerMedia. Yeah,
it was valued roughly at $960 million.
That's ridiculous.
And I thought, okay, so Jeff Bezos could buy that 87 times.
Yeah.
God.
Good Lord, Ruru 2's never been to Disneyland.
Oh, he should go. It's amazing.
Not everybody lives on the coast.
Nick, have you ever been to Disneyland?
Yes.
Oh, okay. There we go.
I have not been to Disney World, but it's on the list.
Disney World 3 times, Disneyland once.
I've never been to Disney World. That's a bucket list thing.
I don't want to go to Florida. It's scary there.
So that's our show. I'm going to move somebody's got to talk about it to next week, 'cause I was going to have fun with it. So, and it's a really fun little topic to talk about. So come back next Friday, 8 PM Pacific Standard Time here on Twitch, twitch.tv/MaliceCorp, to hear the, somebody's got to talk about it comment. Our story.
As a heads up for yourself, kind of try to come up with some wacky drink and food names that you can think of that relate to pop culture, movies and TV especially.
Yeah, I do believe, I want to say that in all of our years of existence, I do believe this is our first cliffhanger episode. So, that's where we just gotta pause the screen.
Which one of us is about to fall down an elevator shaft?
No!
I do in World of Warcraft. Does that count? I don't do it as often as Red Meepaw does, but
If every time you fall you go yahoo.
I go, no, it's usually more like, oh god.
Hey, this is a show about Disney stuff. You're supposed to the yahoo.
You can't go to Warner Brothers, but
yeah.
Okay, that's it. That's our show for tonight. Let's talk about where everybody can follow each other. If you have a hashtag of the week that you want to interact with people, let them know what your hashtag is. If you don't have one, you don't have to come up with one. So let's go to Super first. Super, where can people follow you outside of the cast?
You can follow me on Twitter at Super Whovian Nut, and you can follow me on Instagram at Super Whovian Freak. My Twitter feed, I'm just going to warn you now, if you come right now this weekend, it's probably going to be all Mardi Gras because Jensen Ackles is leading the Mardi Gras parade this year. So that's going to be my timeline.
Hashtag Jensen Marty.
Yeah, he's the Bacchus King, King Bacchus, King of the Bacchus, however you say it.
Awesome. Come join her for that. Did you have a hashtag?
No, because I think Disney has enough hashtags.
Okay, cool. what about you, Nick? Did you where can people follow you?
Raider0314 on Twitter and PlayStation Network. I don't have a hashtag today.
Not a problem. Mr. Masonic Vader, where can people follow you outside of this cast?
Of course, you can follow me at Masonic Vader on Twitter, Masonic Vader71 on PlayStation Network. I will let you do your thing on the other stuff. I do have a hashtag worst Star Wars Disney ride.
Come That's up a with big
hashtag. Well, hashtag worst SW Disney ride. I don't know. Come up, figure it out. All you got to do is
think it's the bathroom line.
Has there ever been a Star Wars ride that wasn't Disney? Wouldn't it just be worst Star Wars ride?
I don't know. Someone else probably had a Star Wars ride somewhere. Beats me. Luke Skywalker's cruising ride. I don't know.
Somebody doesn't put like hashtag worst Star Wars in.
All right, Disney worst Star Wars ride. Yes, hashtag worst Star Wars ride. There you go.
I think it's just when I had Millennium Falcon bed sheets.
Bearded Master says in the chat room hashtag or Twitter paragraph. You're making me cough. Icy Zorro, where can people follow you?
I'm at Icy Zorro on Twitter, Instagram, PlayStation Network. And I'm just going to continue my hashtag from last week because I want more suggestions. Hashtag watch this bad movie. I watch terrible movies for some reason. So you should tell
me. Did you watch the one I hashtagged?
Not yet. I'm still working through the list that I already have, but I'm looking to add more to the end of that list.
All right.
And if you want to follow everything that falls under the Malice Corp umbrella, follow at Malice Corp on Twitter. If you want to check out any of the other podcasts, make sure to follow any of these people that you see written on the screen. You can follow this podcast specifically at All Nerd Podcast on Twitter. You can follow me at @Mest_MaliceCorp on Twitter or on Instagram at @Mest5150. And yes, once again, if you're listening to this anywhere, please, please, please drop us a review. Let us know what you liked, what you didn't like. Keep the conversation going. With that being said, thank you everyone once again for following us. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for showing up and being a part of the show. And we will see you next Friday. You keep nerding on, and we out.
Duh!